What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Suplex City Geeks. This is episode 14 of Suplex City Geeks, and joining me today, of course, Steve, but also joining me, I got Brian, my usual.
What's going on?
Host here. Chilling, man, chilling. It's been another fantastic week of wrestling.
A lot of good shit happening.
Another. Wrestling has been growing and growing and becoming more and more awesome to watch and sitting around and actually paying attention to it. There's a lot of cool shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
Very fucking exciting times. Yeah. We might as well get right into it because we've been recording for almost 2 hours so far. So just jump right into it, right? Because that's what we're here for. We're talking about shits. We can start off with a thing that happened just like more than a week ago. Probably, I guess we could say it's 2 weeks ago. Was Ric Flair's last match. We knew this was happening for quite some time. And there was just a lot of build to it because, of course, you know, Ric Flair's been around for fucking a bazillion years. And he's also been, you know, world champion over like 16 different times. And He's just been everywhere as champ. And he's been doing so many things for so many years. So finally say, okay, yeah, I'm going to call it quits. Because, of course, you know, within the last year or so, he almost died a couple times.
Yeah.
So seeing him come back into the ring. And he could have possibly passed away as well. Kind of sort of did in the match, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But this card was an amazing fucking card because it had people from pretty much everywhere, which is really fucking cool. A lot of people came and paid their respects to Ric Flair. There were a lot of appearances, a lot of people that we've known in so many different places showing up and actually, you know, giving him his props because, of course, you know, he's been essentially like their backbone within wrestling. He's been their inspiration for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Some of the people that were there, of course, Tony Schiavone and David Crockett were doing commentary. But Vicky Guerrero was there, Al Snow was there, Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels, Jake Roberts, Will Sasso, Booker T, Lex Luthor. Oh, Lex Luger. Why did I say Luthor?
Wrong name. But, wrong Lex.
Yeah. Nick Nemeth, who we know as Dolph Ziggler. Doug Gligler. Gillinger. Wow. What the fuck?
Wow.
Cody paid his respects over video. Nick Aldis did commentary. Ian Rick of Bonnie did commentary, who was the ROH commentary guy. Who else? Jim Ross paid his respects. Tom Gallifan, who does the commentary for Impact now. He was also in WWE for a little while. So many people, including Sting, paid his respects as well. Which is really fucking cool. So many people from all over the place showing up for this event and actually, you know, paying the respects for, you know, for one of the greatest. Granted, he did some really fucked up shit while he's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, let us not forget about the plane ride from hell.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's, like I said, done a lot of fucked up shit in life. But a lot of people can say, you know, a lot of people have done a lot of shit in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, Not that it's completely erased the fact that he did what he did, but, you know, it's cool to, you know, see that people acknowledge the fact that he is essentially a legend in his own rights. So it was cool to see the last match. Some of the matches that were there were really, well, not Sun, some. All these fucking matches were really fucking good. Started off the night with the Motor City Machine Guns, which is Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, who are both at Impact. going up against Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, also from Impact. Great fucking match. The Motor City Machine Guns are fucking great. They've been around as a team for a long time on Impact. Really fucking good. Really great team. Awesome back and forth. Alex Shelley is really fucking good. You also see him, that happened over on Emergence this past weekend against, he went up against Josh Alexander over there for the Impact World title, which is another great match. I'll talk about that later. But the back and forth between Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, being that they have been tag team partners for a really long time, it showed, especially with Davey Richards, who haven't really seen a lot of him in a long time. Because, of course, you know, he is the son of former legend, or not just a former legend, but the legend, Davey Boy Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen a lot of him. I know he was in WWE for a little bit. You know, he was in, what was it, in NXT, or was it? Or was it just regular WWE?
Main roster? I think it was main roster.
Okay.
But, like, they just never used him.
Right, yeah. And I'm confusing him with, actually, Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Right.
Davey Richards is another guy. But yeah, the Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley won the match. Good match in general. Really cool shit. Davey Boy Smith Jr. was actually the one that was in the next match against Karrion Kross, who is now in WWE on SmackDown.
Right. Who his whole new look is a lot better than how he looked in NXT.
It was better than the look that he wound up getting when he moved up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Because that main roster look with him in the gimp mask was not the best look for him.
Well, that'd be Vince McMahon for you.
Yeah. It was something that wasn't very good. Yeah. And essentially he got that. He got them over just for a little bit. And then people were like, nope. Fuck this mask, fuck this guy, and then they just got rid of him. But then, of course, you know, times have changed over there at the E, and Triple H brought him back. So we'll see what they're going to do with his character.
Because everybody's seeming to really respect the company again, because Triple H is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, Triple H was a Triple H was there. He was a nobody who rose to what he is.
Oh yeah.
Through hard work and passion for his career. I mean, granted, yes, his wrestling career got snuffed out due to his heart situation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I've seen many a Triple H match that I'll always treasure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really digging Triple H being in charge, because it's like, I mean, yeah, we all were like, oh, it's going to be Shane McMahon. And then you saw what happened with Shane McMahon in the Royal Rumble debacle of earlier this year.
Yeah, him trying. Shane McMahon, essentially, you could say right now, is a tryhard. He wants everything mm-hmm. to be with him, for him. And then we saw that he tried to do something within the WWE, having the Raw Underground for a little while.
Yeah.
That got nowhere.
I got nowhere.
It was trying to be, you know, the next, you know, bare knuckle boxing type shit that they had for a while ago, and that didn't work.
Like, but then you had him try to literally come in at number one and win the Rumble,
mm-hmm.
and get that push to go to Mania. It's like,
yeah, no.
There are so many other.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, he would have lost anyway because it's Roman Reigns. Because nobody, you know, thinks of Roman Reigns as a title belt, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's just like, I'm really happy that I live in a wrestling lifetime where I get to experience better quality programming because Triple H is now in control.
Yep,
like full, not son-in-law Triple H. No, it's full command.
Of everything. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, granted, yeah, Kevin Dumb, that's right, D-U-M-B, not D-U-N-N. Yeah, he's still there, but we'll see for how much longer with everything.
Yeah. Well, from what I'm hearing, from what I've seen online, is that he's not going anywhere at any time. So because the other people, because what he's mostly in charge of is like the camera work and stuff like that. He's okay. The reason why we get the shaky cameras back and forth, and giving you fucking, you know, motion sickness while you're watching the damn show. Right. He's the main reason for that. But one of the reasons that he's not going anywhere is because the people that could have taken over had all gotten fired.
Yeah.
So there's nobody else that knows how to work a camera.
Right. Not one person.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Come on now. Yeah.
But, you know, we now live in we live in the wrestling community now where Triple H and Stephanie McMahon pretty much run the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, yeah, we have Nick Khan, but you know,
he's more of like a silent partner, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
You don't really hear much from him. You don't really, because he doesn't have a lot of, you know, go tos or, you know, anything, because essentially he doesn't really know much about the business itself. That I know of so far, that I know of. I don't see him like as far as like, oh yeah, he knows wrestling and stuff like that, because he hasn't really been a part of anything that I know of, like I said.
You know, and of course, you have to have Khan.
Yeah.
In wrestling.
Yeah, of course. It's only right. Mm-hmm. But continuing with Ric Flair's final match, that was the David Wishmith Killer Cross was a decent match. It wasn't bad. But it was followed by a banger of a match, which was Takeshita, who we've seen in AEW so many damn times. Mm-hmm. So damn good. Alan Angels, who was part of the Dark Order, but he pretty much decided not to, you know, re-sign with AEW.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on the indie scene. So it's Alan Angels, Nick Wayne, who is part of AEW, but hasn't officially been signed because he's still underage. He's only like 17.
That's right.
And Jonathan Gresham in a four-way match. That was a banger of a match, because all these dudes are fucking great.
Gresham's fucking great.
He's fucking good. I don't know where he stands as far as, you know, this AEW ROH type thing. I don't know what's going on with it, but he is so damn good. So fucking good. He's a badass in the ring. He knows how to work the fucking ring, and he does it so fucking well. It's so fucking flawless while he does it too. You could see why he was the ROH champ for the amount of time that he was there, also like tons of props to him for actually holding the title for the amount of time that he did. But not only just that, but like defending it all over the world.
Absolutely.
Because he defended not only just here on the indie scene, but also like overseas. Every single week out there, just busting his ass. And like that, I give him so much fucking respect for that shit. So hopefully he figures something out. Hopefully they come to some type of agreement as far as him being part of, you know, AEW ROH. Over there, so I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with that. But and being that we're just, you know, praising Jonathan Gresham, all these dudes in this match were fucking fantastic. Of course, Takeshita, we've said so much about within the last few weeks. Unfortunately, he's going back to Japan, and we won't be seeing him for a little bit. But Alan Angel is really damn good. He's done a lot of cool shit within AEW. Granted, he was like a bit of a jobber for a little bit, but he, like, a lot of the matches that he did put together were actually really good. And Nick Wayne is fucking insane on the indies. He's really damn good. Like, every single match that I see with him is just like, wow, he's only 17 and he's doing some shit that you're just like, slow down, please. Don't kill yourself yet, because you're so fucking good at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
He is so damn good for a kid.
Yeah.
So fucking good.
I mean, if you think back, if you think back to Zach Gowen way back when,
mm-hmm.
you know, the one-legged wrestler who was like in his teen, right? I mean, he lost his leg as a kid, like a single digit. And then like watching everything that that kid could accomplish on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I mean, granted, yeah, when he joined WWE early in the 2000s, they didn't really know what to do with him because he's a bit wild.
Yeah.
But like that kid on the indies was nuts.
Yeah.
At such a young age. So it's really nice that now you have somebody else, you know, just as fucking good at such a young age. That means mm-hmm. that it goes to show you that there's still drive in people to want to be the best, you know, and they look up to their heroes. Like you figure he's 17. So like at the time, it would have been the tail end of the Hardys. It would have been more like Evan Bourne, or more now known as Matt Sydal, you know, his real name.
Yeah.
You know, and like I'm blanking on who else WWE had at the time that was like a super crazy high flyer. Oh shit, Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you look at these people that like you look up, like you're. Basically what I'm saying is like somebody like Nick Wayne, it's like he looked up to these people, he idolized these people, but mm-hmm. he had the mindset to become their level, if not better.
Yep.
And I mean at 17, and if he's already doing some like crazy fucking good stuff in matches,
mm-hmm.
he's got a career ahead of him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For somebody also another person that's on the indies that actually has a really good career ahead of him. Ahead of them is another indie wrestler that's actually really fucking good. She actually had a match with Nick Wayne a few weeks ago on the last JCW pay-per-view I saw. Not necessarily pay-per-view, but a YouTube show that they put up.
Mm-hmm.
Is Billy Sparks. Check out Billy Sparks if you have not checked out her in-ring stuff. She's really good, and she's also like 17, I believe. I could be wrong. She could be older. But yeah, check out Billy Sparks. She's really fucking good in ring. She had a match with Maki Ito, who we've seen in AEW, but she's also part of, you know, the Japanese people that's come over from DDT over there.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a really good match with her as well this weekend. So check out Billy Sparks. She's awesome online. She's awesome in ring. She's really cool. So check her out. But continuing with Ric Flair's final match, Jonathan Gresham won that match. Like I said, great match. Good shit. Another one that came out afterwards was in honor of the Rock and Roll Express. Of course, you know, not both of them are wrestling at the moment. But mm-hmm. Ricky Morton came out with his son, Kerry, going up against Brian Pillman Jr. and Brock Anderson.
Okay.
Both, you know, second-generation superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Going up against, of course, Ricky Morton and his son, a legend, and his son. Another great tag team match. Really cool. Very old-school tag team type wrestling. Don't see a lot of that nowadays, but this was a really fun match. It was really cool, especially seeing Arn Anderson in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool to see him along with you know, with everybody there. Really cool shit. So
right, because Arn's not with AEW anymore, right?
He is. He's still there. But he does a lot of behind the scenes. He doesn't come out very often.
Especially now that Cody is with WWE.
Right, exactly. He doesn't need to be there, but he's still there because, of course, you know, Brock is still there. Brock is his son, and he's
right.
He's behind with his son all the time. He doesn't want to be a fucking like a big time person on TV and stuff. But yeah, he's there. This was a good match.
And Brock, who's the spitting image of his father,
absolutely. He still has he's adjusted his moveset slightly to not be the exact same thing as Arn.
But he looks just like his father.
He looks just like him, no matter how you think about it, no matter how you look at it. If you look at Arn Anderson from like the 70s and the 80s. Yeah,
I was going to say.
He is the same person.
We do a side-by-side comparison. He is basically him from the 70s and
80s. Yeah, yeah. Same body type, same everything. Like I said, same everything. He's fucking, he's good. He's good. He's good in the ring. He's a good up-and-comer. So mm-hmm. is Brian Pillman Jr. So is So is Kerry Morton. Kerry Morton impressed me as far as, you know, his in-ring. Because I've never seen him before. But of course, we have seen Ricky Morton before. Ricky Morton,
yeah.
Of course, you know, one of the originals in Rock and Roll Express. He's old as fuck. But he's still doing the shit in the ring every single week because he does everything on the indies. So he's always everywhere. And the fact that he's still doing this on a weekly basis, it's kind of insane to me as well. But yeah, it was good to see this match. Brock and Brian both won. And this was, like I said, it was a fun match to check out. Very classic, old school, just tag team wrestling. Nothing too high flyer-ish, nothing too crazy. It was just, you know, typical on the ring, in the ring type, you know, type deal. Good shit. Good regular technical type, you know, tag team wrestling, which is, you know, what we expect from most of the time from, you know, the older types. Then another really good match. I love fucking Lucha. Lucha Libre is fucking is the shit.
It's, yeah, it's insanely good stuff.
It's fucking great. And we had a four-way Lucha match, which is fucking awesome. One of the people, of course, that we've known for quite some time, he's over in AEW. We got Rey Fénix. But not only just that, but we also had, it was, like I said, it was a four-way. So we had the Laredo Kid from Impact, as well as Black Taurus, who is from Impact as well, and Bandido, who is essentially, he's all over the place. He was in ROH for a little while. He's come up in the indies. He also showed up in Impact a couple times. Like I said, he's all over the fucking place. And this was a banger of a match. Because, of course, these four dudes are really fucking good. And
so he's basically freelance. Because he can just go from place to place.
Yeah, he's on the indies. He does everything everywhere. So, like, whoever, he's like a hired gun. If you need me in a show, I'll be there. And he's really fucking good. He's really fucking good. I like seeing Bandido. Bandido was also on Impact this past week on Emergence. Like I said, we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But he's fucking good. He's really fucking good. This was a great match, a great Lucha match. Like I said, I'm saying it again and again. I love fucking Lucha. I've said it online. I say it on here. Give me Lucha all the time.
Lucha matches are like the best matches of all time.
Yeah, it's a banger of a match, no matter how you look at it.
It's because because of how like first off, the matches are faster paced.
Yeah, so much energy.
So much energy.
Like one move leads to another move leads to another move leads to another move. And you're like, slow down again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And the amount of high flying, countering.
Yeah.
It's just, Lucha is like the best style.
Yeah. And to think that like the American audience doesn't know a lot about it, it's kind of sad.
They know, the American audience knows Americanized.
Yeah.
They don't know like true Lucha.
Yeah, they don't really know true Lucha. They're like, it's slowly progressing and being part of, you know, the mainstream in some type of way.
It's gotten better over the last couple of years. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Because even though we had Rey Mysterio for 20 years now, it was just like the watered down version of Lucha. Even though he is great. He is great at what he does.
But if you think about Rey Mysterio when he was working Lucha, actual Lucha matches, mm-hmm. versus the Rey Mysterio we have now, granted, he's older. He's 50, but he, at the time when he debuted, he was 30, and mm-hmm. or around there, and they slowed him down.
Yeah,
because they're like, well, you know, we're slower paced matches here.
Exactly.
So go, like, go back and watch old school Rey Mysterio matches. You're going to be like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But that's why, like,
it's totally different.
That's when I watch, like, when I watch AEW and I watch, like, matches, you know, between, like, the Lucha Brothers or, like, anything with Roosh, it's like,
mm-hmm.
Granted, they're slowed down in AEW, but they're still at a fast pace.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're, like, your eyes are staring at the screen and, like, your eyes are, like, bouncing around the TV. Like, where are they going?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So if you think that's fast here in America for Americanized wrestling, well, watch the actual matches.
Watch a Triple A match.
Watch a Triple A match. Watch anything in fucking New Japan. Watch shit. Even go back and watch old school Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
because they weren't slowed down. They were just go.
Mm-hmm.
Go be you and wrestle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it. So
it's so fucking great.
It was great. This was a great Lucha match. Rey Fénix came out on top, rightfully so, because Rey Fénix is a fucking man. He's so fucking good.
Amazing match. Amazing wrestler.
Everybody within the match was actually really damn good. Black Taurus, you don't really see much because he wrestles with essentially a bull's mask on himself. He has the mask, of course, but he also has like horns on his mask.
Mm.
Because he's like a Taurus. He's like, you know.
Yeah.
A bull. He's running around. He's a big, massive dude with a bull mask, but doing lucha moves. Good shit. Laredo Kid, he's been around for a while. He's been in Impact for a little bit. He's really fucking good. I saw him when they were doing the Impact tapings out here. Really fucking nice. Good in the ring. And Bandito, of course, we've seen him so many different times.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be talking about Bandito in a little bit as well. Because he was at Emergences over there too. Good shit. Lucha all the way. Love it. Need more Lucha all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next match was an awesome fucking match between Josh Alexander, the current Impact World Champion, going up against Jacob Fatu, who we've seen in, I believe it's New Japan. But he was part of this event as well. So, banger of a fucking match. I fucking loved it. Josh Alexander knows how to put on a fucking match all the fucking time. So damn good. He's just like a good fucking wrestler all around. And I'm glad that he has the Impact Championship because he's fucking good. Like I said, he's just awesome. Like I love what he does in the ring. I love how he works the ring. He works his partner, his opponent. You can tell that he loves the sport and he knows how to do it, and he does it very, very fucking well. No matter who he's going up against, he is a fucking masterful dude. So if you haven't had a chance to check out any type of Josh Alexander matches, do yourself a favor and go check them out because they're fucking great. He hasn't had a bad match since I've been watching. So nice. Definitely check out Josh Alexander. He's a good, really good wrestler. And he's from Canada. Canada's a place that brings out a lot of good fucking wrestlers.
The Heart Very Dungeon, weird. Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
well, technically part of the Heart Dungeon.
Right, exactly.
You know, like Claudio.
Ethan Page is awesome. He's from Canada. Claudio, he's from Sweden, so I wouldn't necessarily say he's from Canada.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's Sweden. Yeah. But no. There Natalia. Are so many.
Any part of the family.
Shit. But if you want to name, but if you want to just name them individually, just Brett, Owen, Jim, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Natalia, Chris Jericho, Benoit, Lance Storm, Trish Stratus, Davey Boy Smith,
The list goes on and on.
just lit. I mean, just literally just go and wasn't Pat Patterson from Canada too?
I believe so. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he was Canadian, but like, yeah, just go, just do yourselves a favor and Google wrestlers, Canadian wrestlers, and you're going to see this list. And it's going to be like, oh, I didn't know my favorite superstar or pro wrestler was from Canada.
Yep.
So, yeah,
do shit. Yourself. There's a lot of shit out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so do yourself a favor and check all that shit out, dude. It's good shit. Then Josh Alexander won. Granted, this was a great match. Jacob Fatu, I haven't really seen much of, but he was really fucking good in ring. And this was for the Impact title, so he didn't lose the title, granted, of course. But at the end of the match, Matt Cardona interfered. He came into the match and he started fucking around with Josh Alexander along with Brian Myers came out. But then DDP came through the ring, came from the crowd, and stunned Cardona.
I love good it.
Shit. Yeah.
And I'm glad Cardona's like medically cleared.
Right, exactly.
Just, you know, he has like what, 12 championships?
Yeah, he has all the championships on the indies. Which is cool. Like I'm not mad about it cuz you know, he's making a name for himself on the indies because of course, you know, he was pretty much shit on back in the E, so.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's living his best life essentially.
Pretty much.
And I'm not mad about it at all, because he's having fun while he's doing it.
Yeah, and you know, he may have this whole like, you know, not necessarily heel persona, but like kind of like that dickhead persona going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, he didn't let the bullshit change him. Like he's still like a genuine humble person.
Mm-hmm. So it's good shit. Like it's good to see that everybody's pretty much flourishing in their own little way.
Speaking of off topic, little side note about Cardona. What I loved was like one of his old school toy hunts,
mm-hmm.
where Chelsea Green appeared, and she's like, "Why do I have this life size Han Solo and Carbonite in my like basement?"
Yeah. Yeah, they just recently got married too. They actually this past weekend they were. Redoing their vows on the GCW pay per view, which is GCW Homecoming Part 2 or something like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, they were renewing their vows, which of course that didn't go as planned. Or you know, essentially, when you see people getting married in a wrestling event, it doesn't go as planned. What I saw on Twitter earlier was that Nick Gage came out and. Smashed one of those halogen lights over Matt Cardona's dad's head.
Oh shit!
Yeah, wild shit. That's what the GCW does. It just brings the wild out of everybody.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But yeah, it was cool to see DDP actually in ring again. You granted he's not clear to wrestle.
He's not active.
Exactly, he's not active, but he does his DDPY stuff, which is cool.
I mean, he even mentions in one of the programs that, you know, this is the move he did when I think it was like table or broken table, where like that's one of the moves that helped him like, you know, fix his back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, DDP is not an active wrestler, but he's like he'll make the appearance just a you know quick bang and then
yeah.
You know, make the fans happy.
Exactly. And I'm cool with it. I got no problem.
Yeah, me too.
Then that was followed by the Von Erichs going up against the Briscoes.
Nice.
The Von Erichs, of course, not the original Von Erichs, because, of course, they would be, like, super old going into the ring, going up with the Briscoes.
And the Von Erichs are, like, this family that, like, right, aren't they, like, wasn't that the family that was, like, cursed, like, most of them are like dead or something.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah. But these are like of course the children of them and they've followed their parents in their you know in their footsteps and continued with the families to go along with it. This was a fun match. This was good. The Briscoes are fucking awesome. For those that haven't seen a Briscoe match, what the fuck are you waiting for?
Correct that.
Yeah. What the fuck are you waiting for? Get on it now. It's good shit. Briscoes came out on top. Rightfully so, because they're great. This is a fun match, like I said. It was good shit. And then that match was followed by Deonna Purrazzo versus it was a three-woman match. Deonna Purrazzo, Rachel Rachel Ellery. There we go. That's how you say your name. I'm sorry. I'm so fucked up. And Jordynne Grace. Three-way women's match. It was fucking great. Within the first couple minutes, Rachel Ellery got pretty much her ankle got fucked up in the middle of the match or at the very beginning. So she stood out for just a few minutes as the match was going. And then they fixed it. And she came back into the ring and she kept fighting and stuff like that. Could have just been at work or whatever. But it was a good match. It was really damn good. And of course, our favorite, Jordynne Grace, came out on top because she's a fucking beast in the ring, dude. She's so fucking good. She's really damn awesome. If you haven't seen a Jordynne Grace match as well, do yourself a favor. Go check that shit out, dude.
She's as good as her husband.
Yeah, yeah. And she's also at the moment, she's also the Impact Women's Champion as well. So. She's a champion for a fucking reason, people. Check her out if you haven't, like I said. This was a great match, and this led to the final match, which was Ric Flair tagging with his son-in-law, Andrade El Idolo, going up against Double J, Jeff Jarrett, and his partner, Jay Lethal. It was a really good match. It was a 30-minute match for first off. But I'm saying it's a good match because you don't expect much from a person that it is in his 70s to be actually wrestling to do something so fucking good. Because of course he wasn't that good in ring because of course he is fucking old as shit.
I mean, he was literally near dead like a year or two ago.
Yeah, yeah. But what was good about it was the fact that his opponents worked them very well. They made him look like $1,000,000. They made him look like he was doing his thing in ring, which is what you would expect a good partner to do.
Right.
Make the other person look good while you're out there in the ring.
Right.
And I mean, they did that. They did that so well.
I mean, especially like he literally passed out twice in ring.
Yeah. Two times. It was insane. It was a really good match. Of course, you know, what we've grown to see is that, you know, Flair likes to cut. And and he did a lot of that in this match. Not that he'd do a lot of it, but he did bleed a lot. Which is one of the reasons why he pretty much passed out, because he lost a good amount of blood while he was in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a good match. It was fun to see him in ring. It was good to see Andrade doing his thing. He's always doing his thing. He's always in AEW doing things over there. Jay Lethal, underrated as fuck. Granted, he's been in Ring of Honor for some time. He's been all over the place. But Jay Lethal is really damn good. If you haven't seen a Jay Lethal match, especially back in his ROH days, or even his Impact days.
Back when he had the braids.
Yeah, when he had the longer hair, exactly. It's really damn good. It's really damn good. So check out his matches. Of course, we all know Jeff Jarrett. Everybody knows Jeff Jarrett. He's been around for quite some time. really damn good. And you can't have a match without it, without a fucking without a guitar shot. That happened in this. I believe it was Ric Flair that got the guitar shot, which was like, eek, why is this happening? But it happened. It happened. So deal with it, people.
And did you know that because of Ric Flair having this, you know, final match, and I'm gonna use air quotes just because over the word final, because Ric Flair and Carlos Colon got into it, you know, in a work. And so supposedly Flair having that final match inspired the Honky Tonk Man to come out of retirement for one more.
Oh boy.
Who the fuck wants to see the Honky Tonk Man anymore? You know, right? And the Honky Tonk Man, the second you try to take his picture, right? You know, the second you try to take his picture, his arms go up. Like,
yeah, it sounds about right.
Nobody wants to see the fucking Honky Tonk Man anymore.
No.
Like, it's different because Honky Tonk Man was one of those wrestlers from the 80s that, I mean, was he part of Rock and Roll, the cartoon?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but I know it was Junkyard Dog, Hillbilly Jim for sure. But like, yeah, it's like,
I remember having his rubber figure.
Oh, I had that too. The LJN 12-inch figure. Just the odor on that thing. It gets you high.
Yeah.
It's like they got you LJN got you stoned playing with. Well, they wanted you to be creative. Yeah, they wanted you to have imagination.
I had him and Hillbilly Jim, of course, and Hogan, because of course, you know, everybody had Hogan.
When you were able to find Hogan. I had Piper.
Nice.
Who else did I have? I had King Kong Bundy. I had Andre the Giant. I had George the Animal Steel.
Nice.
Great figures back in the day. But anyway, but the thing is, it's like back to the actual human life. It's like nobody cares about Honky Tonk Man. Would watch, despite all the bullshit now with like this, you know, all the scandals and racism of Hulk Hogan, I would see one final Hogan match.
I wouldn't mind.
Because it's the same level as a disgusting human being like Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You know? And, but you don't look at the.
But it's also different levels of it.
Yeah, but like for when you go in to watch the Flair final match, you're going in, you don't give a shit about all the. You put all that other shit on pause, and you just literally just go to watch the match, and then
separate the personal from
the talent. Yeah,
and I get it. I get that for sure. I wouldn't mind. Like I said, like you said, I wouldn't mind seeing a Hogan match, especially if it's gonna be his final match. I wouldn't mind seeing it. But that essentially would be a money grab because, of course, you know, he's broke as fuck right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'd be interesting to see. But this match was actually not bad. It wasn't great. It wasn't like, a five-star match because, of course, you know, when you're dealing with somebody that's passing out in a match, you don't expect the best match to be had. Especially with them wanting to actually have him in ring for a little bit more than just, you know, 5 minutes. It was good. It was good to see him there. Actually, you know, putting in the work. Because, of course, you know, you don't expect somebody of his age to actually be in ring and actually go for the chops and go for the things. And he wound up coming out with the figure four to end the match against Jeff Jarrett. But as he was doing the figure four, he looked like he was just holding it, but not holding it the way he used to. And he looked like he was like literally dying, just holding it there, which was kind of sad. But he came out on top. Granted, yeah, of course, you know, that is wrestling, you know. But it was a decent match. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was okay. But yeah, that was the end of the match. And then at the end, Tony Giovanni came out and spoke to Ric Flair, basically saying, yeah, Leo, like this was essentially the same shot that they did back in like the 80s when he was doing eight in the NWA, their first interview together when he won the title. It was them having the same pose as they did back in the day. It was like, yo, from the first match to the beginning, it worked out, and they did their thing together. And they are like, we love you. You know, you're great in what you do. You're one of the best of all time to do it. And thank you. And it was like I said, the overall event was actually pretty good. Nothing too crazy, nothing too like over the top, but it was a good match. It was a good place. It was a lot of good wrestling there. A lot of good wrestlers that actually pay homage to one of the greats. So
yeah,
it was good.
Let's just hope that this is his actual final match.
I really hope so. I really, really, really hope so. Because I would hate for it to him say that and then wind up dying in ranks shortly after. No bueno. Yeah. And then the next thing that we watched, we got Raw. Raw was okay. They're slowly building to making, you know, something better within the WWE.
It's like Triple H is the new director, so therefore he's slowly retconning.
Yeah.
Certain fuck ups over the last whenever the hell he went PG to now.
Yeah, yeah. So he's slowly building everything to make things, you know, just that much better. And like it's falling into place, like I said, slowly. It's getting to where it should be. It's getting to where, you know, it can be. So there's a lot of potential there. And then we got AEW Dynamite, which is something that we did watch completely. Really fucking good. AEW Dynamite, that was the quake on the lake, because they were in someplace out west.
So while we're in the process of talking, you know, merging from WWE to AEW, I seen this just now. Matt Hardy spoke up about Triple H being in charge.
Oh, what did he say?
So Matt Hardy says Triple H getting in power in WWE is a game changer, which could lead to several AEW stars going to WWE. He's like, this deal with Triple H taking over WWE is a game changer. I mean, on top of that, it also opens the door for so many people to go back. There are so many more people that have a better relationship with Triple H than they did Vince.
Yep.
I've already spoken to people that are there. Triple H has already been so much more accessible from the people I've talked to with current experience. So it's great. I also think it's going to make the competition of the industry healthier as well. I agree. I am Team AEW, whatever team I'm playing for. I'm waving that flag until my dying day. But it is a good thing because there are people who could potentially leave AEW that may end up going to WWE, and they would be more apt to doing that because Triple H is in charge. So I think that's a super positive thing. Another huge positive thing to Triple H running WWE now is Vince. It is what it is. Vince, it is what it is, but his views and mindset are about pro wrestling were a bit antiquated. Mm-hmm. A little bit antiquated. That's no slight on him. As we get older, it's definitely harder. It's definitely much harder to keep up with what is new and what is trendy. Yep. And have your finger on the pulse of pro wrestling. Triple H is much more tuned into 2022 pro wrestling, much like Tony Khan is.
Yep.
So we're getting comparison that Triple H and is the WWE Tony Khan, and I see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're TK, who we all love to death. Like he went into creating a company because he fell in love with pro wrestling as a kid.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make his own federation that has such clout and such love and respect and everything that we want as fans and as wrestlers and whatnot. And because like, if you think about it, when have you ever, outside of this Jonathan Gresham thing going on, when have you ever heard anybody talk shit about Tony Khan?
Never really. Well, right? well, they did have a thing a few months ago, probably like a year, like I'm going to say 6 months to a year. Big Swole.
Okay.
Yeah, that was all that I could say that was negative out of the entire thing.
But like, if you're thinking of, I mean, there, but then it goes to show you if there's like that one strike on Tony Khan, then you get that one strike on Triple H, and we're talking the CM Punk incident.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever's in charge is not going to be liked by everybody. That's just a company thing. It doesn't matter if it's a wrestling thing, a TV company, a mom and pop business, a corporation, whatever.
No matter how you look at somebody.
I mean, like in the companies that you work for, not everybody gets along backstage.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, for sure. But like, it's just a part of life. You're not always going to be friends with everybody.
Absolutely.
So, but the fact that Triple H is more in tune to the current things going on in this country and this world versus Vince, who is just Team Vince, you know, I think it's safe to say WWE is going to be okay.
Yeah, it is.
You know, they're going to be all right. They're going to, you know, they're all about, right? WWE is all about family, and now that Triple H is in charge, it's not all about family, and then meanwhile, like, you're breaking your family apart behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just, I mean, wasn't there, like, just recently a report, like, Vince owes, like, another $5 million or something?
$9
million. Oh, see? $5, $9, it's just millions.
Yeah, it's just millions, yeah. Yeah, so essentially what you can pretty much say now is that he's pretty much spent, like, almost $20 million on pussy. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
And it's like, well, you know, Vince spent $20 million on that. Disney canceled Batgirl for $90 million. It's all the same. It's all
that's money. Not Disney, that's Warner.
That's right, Warner, right. I'm sorry, Warner.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, well, it's money. Yeah, there's rich people and money.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it's like, there were many, many things that Vince has created over time that were decent and that worked. But then as he got older, Vince decided to try to keep that mindset. And it's like, well, Vince, that worked in 2000. It's not going to work in 2022.
Yeah, we can't do bra and panty matches anymore.
No.
Yeah, no.
You can't have a live sex celebration on TV.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I remember that one, too.
Yeesh. And, I mean, think about how uncomfortable both Edge and Lita were doing that.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, it's going to work. And I was like, no, Vince, it's not going to work. And people watch it going, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So... It's nice that somebody who's actually been on the side of where the wrestlers are gets to be the side where Vince is or Vince was, because now that Triple H is, you know, ahead of everything, really, it's like, like I said, the company's going to be all right. Like, they have somebody in charge that is going to listen, and as I've stated over and over again over the last couple of episodes with SCG, it's like company morale has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at this whole thing going on with Sasha and Naomi. Vince McMahon's WWE reign wanted to indefinitely suspend them, which means they without pay. So that means they were not getting paid to, you know, while working under this company, but also their contracts were frozen. Like, they couldn't just wait out their contract expiration. Mm-hmm. They couldn't, you know, like, they couldn't wait the 90 days non-compete and join Indies or AEW or Impact or whatever. the man literally held their lives in the palm of his hand like a fucking piece of shit. And now you're at a stage in the game where Triple H is in charge, and now there are talks, and there's a healthier environment between that.
Yep.
I mean, there are rumors now that we'll see Bray Wyatt back in WWE. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, big rumors. Especially the rumor that I heard recently is that he may be showing up at the castle when the stupid shit at the castle.
Mm-hmm.
That they're doing over in the UK.
Because the rumors are with him is that it'll be in like his contract that like he's granted championship matches and main event status.
Which is rightfully so. He's great.
I mean, right? I mean, we knew he had potential as Husky Harris way back when.
Mm-hmm.
But granted, yeah, he was like really out of shape. It wasn't what they were going for and whatever under the whole, like, you know, Vince McMahon ruling and shit. But mm-hmm. he, you know, he did what he had to. He lost weight. He got himself in shape and whatever. I mean, and then we got Bray Wyatt. We got the creepy mm-hmm. redneck with yeah. the cult with the late great fucking Brody Lee.
Brody Lee, yep.
Or we'll say Luke Harper. And Eric Redbeard. And it's like and that faction was so great and created by Dusty Rhodes.
Yep.
And then Vince got involved and changed that whole shit. And then Bray repackaged himself, right? Or, right, well, Wyndham, we'll call him by real name. But, like, he repackaged mm-hmm. himself, and he came up with the character for The Fiend and the mask design by fucking legendary fucking special effects guy, Tom Savini.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, one of the creepiest things for a PG company to have is a guy coming out with a almost exact mask that matched the Joker, Death in the Family.
Yeah.
Right, with the stretched out smile and like, mm-hmm. but walking out with a lantern of Bray Wyatt's head
mm-hmm.
with the flame in the middle. I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
But now everything going on with Bray, it's like, I mean, we don't know what's going on. Like, I mean, rumors are rumors. We'll see. Maybe, maybe not. Whatever. But, like, now seeing all these, like, random videos that his channel's been pumping out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one had, like, the Edge theme song mixed into it.
Yep.
So it's like, is he just saying, he just fucking with everybody?
Could be.
You know, like, I don't know. It's just one of those things.
We'll just have to wait for the Clash of the Castle to see if that's going to really happen.
You know, and lastly on him, it's like we had that what he said isn't cryptic, but it's still fucking cryptic. The message he put out on socials.
Yep.
Just and the things he's naming. I mean, he pretty much name drops companies without name dropping companies.
Uh huh.
And you're like, God damn it. That's a cryptic message.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
So now let's talk that incredible, incredible episode of Dynamite.
Awesome fucking episode of Dynamite. It's fucking great. I started out with Jericho. Well, not Jericho. What the fuck? Brody King versus Darby Allin in a coffin match. A match that we've seen previously a couple times with Darby. And Darby came out on top, which was something that I was expecting for this one.
Yeah, me too.
Darby's fucking great. He's really great with these big matches that have a lot of a lot of pull behind them. And this was good. This was a really good back and forth. I fucking loved it. I love the fact that like Darby came out with a skateboard that had thumbtacks attached to them.
Right?
And completely bloodified Brody's face at the very beginning of the match.
He turned his white face paint into that crimson mask.
Yeah.
In
the first couple minutes of Dynamite.
Yeah. So, like, I had gotten home from work, because now I watch, like, I'm always, like, telling you, it was like, don't say anything. And then you were like, you know, Dynamite was great, just stay off Twitter. I'm like, okay, well, it helps that I'm working.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that, you know, as we talk more at the end of the show. But, like, my wife was up still, because she had just finished finishing up her job. And, like, we're watching this match. And what's great is, like, she's like, so when's Sting coming out? And my wife, who's not a wrestling fan at all, ended up watching the entire episode of Dynamite with me.
Nice.
Yeah. And then she's like, all right, when's Sting coming out? And she's like, why do I know these people? You know, like, she always, like, gets, you know, jokingly mad. Like, why do I know this stuff? You know, because, like, you know, she's not nerdy about wrestling like we are. And
but that shows how a good story and a good, you know, good program works.
And then the coffin opens, right? So first it was Malachi and Buddy Murphy interfered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Darby's getting his ass kicked. And then, like, was it Buddy Murphy goes to open up the casket, and bam, there's Sting in the casket with his fucking bat clutched to his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, the lights had gone out for the rest of the House of Black to show up.
Yep.
Lights go on.
Julia came out, tripped up Brody.
Yeah. And then, like, Sting came out. This is, like, this to me was my second favorite Sting appearance out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The first one being where he was wearing the Sting mask at
That was great, too. Yeah.
He's wearing the Sting mask and the hat
Sting
in the crowd.
Sting is Sting, yeah.
Yeah. So, oh man, and just watching Sting perform. I mean, the man is 63 and still fucking got it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of the good things that I know that I actually really enjoyed about this whole his first appearance in this match was that Brody Buddy Matthews opened up the casket, saw Sting in there, and walked away.
Yes.
That was very interesting in how that happened, because I was not expecting that. I was expecting them to have like a little bit of a brawl there.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. But then also when Sting came into the ring and gave Malachi the bat, like, yo, like, if you want, here you go. Do your worst. And Malachi turned around, dropped the bat, and left the ring as well.
I forgot about that. That was great.
That basically shows that they each both paid Sting their respects and, like, yo, like, we're not gonna fuck you up now, but in the near future, all bets are off. So I'm excited to see what's gonna happen with this. I'm gonna get excited. But then you
go like backstage, and, you know, just the fact that Sting sees so much potential in all of these guys, that he's working with them and making this be the best that they can be.
Yep.
So, I mean, who knew that in, what was it, November of 2020, when Sting made that appearance in a fucking empty arena because of COVID, you know, that when he's like eyeballing everybody, you know, with the bat and tapping it on the mat, that when he basically, like, did that eyeball thing and frightened the fuck out of Darby, that we would see these guys work together for the last 2 years, or almost 2 years. And it's like the fact that he took Darby under his wing in real life to make him be the best that he could be. You know, it's just fucking dope.
Yeah, like, it's fucking great.
Yeah, and Darby's sporting that new neck tattoo.
Yeah.
That I didn't catch what it said, but
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember what it said either. But it's definitely better than Cody's neck tattoo.
Which I know Brandy was not happy about.
Yeah, of course, of course. Who would be happy? Who would really be happy about that? Yeah, but this was an awesome match. What I loved about this match was actually the final move for the match when Darby was holding this dude over the side of the ring with the chain, the same way that he was held that Brody was holding Darby previously at the last pay-per-view or whatever out of the ring. Remember how he was like pretty much choking him out on the apron with the chain, held him the same way, which pretty much knocked him out while the coffin was open, and he just fell right in.
That was so perfectly done on Brody's.
That was a perfect spot. It was really damn good. That toss in was fucking great. It was beautiful. Then we got right after that we got a tornado tag match between the Lucha Pros and versus Rush and Andrade El Idolo. Another fantastic fucking match. Uh-huh. Andrade is fucking great. I love seeing him in the ring. I love seeing what he's doing.
I love seeing that Lucha Bros. I love that, you know, he actually has potential in AEW.
Oh yeah.
Like he's actually being he's actually being used properly.
Mm-hmm. 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 I also like that he also brought over Rouge in his little faction over there. It's fucking great. It's really fucking cool to see them go back and forth. And then also Rouge is fucking great too. He's a big dude, but he's fucking good. He knows what he's doing in the ring. I love it. Again, this match is all about the Luchas, and it's I fucking love it. We need fucking more great Lucha on TV, dude. Yes, this is watered down Lucha, but it's still better Lucha than a lot of the Luchas that we've seen previously. This is a great match. One of my favorites that I've seen of Andrade and Rush, especially against the Lucha Bros. Lucha Bros are they're fucking amazing. Been a fan of theirs since they showed up over here. And like every single match, like I must say, is fucking awesome. Rush and Andrade won, but came up on top against the Lucha Bros. It was fucking awesome. It was really fucking good. So many high spots, so much good shit in this match. I fucking loved it. Every single moment of it was fucking great. Then that pretty much followed up with Ricky Starks going up against Aaron Solo. Aaron Solo we knew from WWE previously. He was over there for a little while. But he's over here now with The Factory. Which is kind of weird that now that Two Dimes is over here with The Factory, now you have Nick Camarado kind of sporting the old gangster look, and how it's kind of becoming like a weird little mobster type faction, similar to what was over with NXT, over with Two Dimes and whatever the fuck the other dude's name was.
Right.
Very weird that they're bringing that over here too. But that I don't know if that has anything to do with Two Dimes being over here now. But I could be completely wrong. Whatever. This is a decent match. These two dudes know each other for quite some time. They've been on the indies together. They actually held tag team titles together in the indies. So they know each other. They know each other's style. They know the way that they wrestle. They're pretty good. They're good in ring. They're awesome. But it was a decent match. It wasn't the best. But Starks came out on top. Starks won. Starks is awesome, like I said. Solo's actually really good too. But of course, you know, he's essentially one of those heel workers that don't get a lot of shine. He'll be on TV, but he's always going to pretty much lose the match, which is, I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm perfectly fine with it because it gives them, you know, he's a helper, essentially. Mm-hmm. He's helping everybody, you know, get their numbers up, and I'm down for it. But the awesome part about this whole segment was that at the end of the match, Wardlow came out because, of course, you know, not Nick Camarado, but what's his face? QT started yapping his big old mouth because he wanted to have Wardlow join the factory or whatever. And he was pretty much like, no, fuck you. I don't want to join the factory. I want to do my own thing. And Wardlow pretty much came out, and he came out with his partners. The continuing within the whole faction that is the Pinnacle that we haven't seen in quite some time because, of course, you know, they kind of disbanded, but the Pinnacle is still a thing with, you know, Wardlow being the champ, but also FTR being, you know, the five-star FTR that we know, now currently baby faces. This is fucking great. It was really great to see them come together and, you know, essentially bringing in their whole little trios way or whatever. Very exciting. Very exciting to see what's going to happen with this. Huge pop, of course. And I love it. I love it. One thing that was funny that at backstage during this whole little rigmarole with Starks is that they cut to a Powerhouse getting upset and like slamming a TV on the ground because Stark won. Kind of essentially bringing over the fact that, you know, Hobbs is pissed because of the fact that they've gone their separate ways. And I get it. It's going to be interesting to see them go against each other. That's going to be fun in the long run. Possibly at All Out, that'll happen. But then we had the in-ring debut of Madison Reigns over in AEW. Well, I guess the Dynamite debut because she was on, I think she was on one of the dark matches or whatever. Madison Reigns, who was currently I guess one of the people that's helping out the women's division.
Yeah.
So she's one of the head coaches over there for the women's division. Other than, you know, Dustin. But yeah, she did a pretty good in-ring appearance against Jade Cargill, who is a current TBS champion. And she's been holding it for, what, like 35 matches so far? She's still undefeated? Still,
pretty much.
And she's fucking good. She's gotten every single week. She's getting better and better. And I love it.
I'm just ready for a new champion. I'm kind of over.
Yeah. Slightly over it. But I am still excited that, you know, she's still on top. Because essentially, if you really think about it, she hasn't really had much of competition. And she was getting competition as far as Chris Statlander.
Yeah.
Because they were going to give her a big-ass push, but suffered another knee injury. So she had
I was going to say, yeah, she's out.
Yeah, so she's out. So that's not happening anytime soon, unfortunately. Because she's going to wind up being out for like another few months because last time she had a knee injury, she was out for almost a year. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But one thing that we are getting is we're getting more Athena in ring. So there's more possibilities. Well, not just more possibilities, but more showings of Athena and showing up in the middle of her matches with Jade Cargill's matches. So she was pretty much disguised as a baddie, which was a weird thing for commentary to say. Mm-hmm. But she was disguised as a Jade's crew that's just in the crowd. But yeah, she came in, she pretty much is giving the business to Jade. So I'm excited to see Athena's match against Jade, because Jade is fucking good. And Athena's fucking really good. She's been around for a little bit. She did a lot of good things in the indies. She was also in WWE over there for a while. And they got rid of her, of course. So she's a really good addition to the women's division over here. So I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with her. Hopefully she wins.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a good ass match. Then the last match of the night, which is a really good one. Was Jon Moxley versus Chris Jericho for the intro.
Oh my god. What a solid match. But also we're forgetting before we get into that match, we're forgetting that the Bucks asked Paige to be their guy.
Oh yeah, that's right. The backstage promos, yeah.
And he was like, I'm sorry. You know, and he basically hinted at who would be their guy. There should be the guy. And there's so much speculation that it's going to be the return of Kenny Omega.
Oh, we could hope so.
Because he's been out. So bad. He's been out with so many nagging injuries for almost a year.
Yeah.
Shit.
It's been a while. Just about 300 days, a little bit more.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We need Kenny.
Yeah, we need Kenny. He's so damn good. We'll see because this weekend on Dynamite, this week we're supposed to be getting a trios match because they are you know the Young Bucks and their partner are included in this trios. Tag Team Eliminator Tournament.
And it would be nice to see him be a part of Grand Slam.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun to see if it's gonna be Kenny Omega showing up. Cannot wait.
But imagine if the whole thing is a work and it's really Adam Page.
Yeah,
Adam Cole. I mean, like, imagine the whole thing is just that sadistic. That
I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. Especially after, he pretty much beat their asses for him for them to actually bring him into the fold and like, oh yeah, you're gonna help us out, even though you fucked us up, you're gonna be our partner anyway.
Oh, that's right. This is AEW. This isn't Vince's WWE.
Right.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Which we've seen in the past a million times.
Oh yeah. But that's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with this. Then of course we, like we said, the final match was Mox versus Jericho.
Yeah.
Jericho coming out with his, you know, this old school Lionheart look.
I just love the look of all the disappointed fans hoping they were gonna hear Judas.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
But it's like, you don't understand. Like, this is the Lionheart. This is the Chris Jericho that we all grew up with.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, coming out to White Zombie.
Yeah. Like, this was the first Jericho that we all were like, okay.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Jericho's had so many...
so many iterations of the style.
Yeah. But it's like, this was the Jericho of old that all of us like were like, holy shit. Holy shit. Like, oh my God, this like 20 something year old kid is insane in the ring. You know, and then he would later have 1,001 holds. And then he would later, you know, have the infamous countdown clock.
Yeah.
And then would have the second coming run, and then you know, then you just made the list.
Yeah.
And then, like, if you think about everything that this man has done over the course of his career, I mean, shit. And we just saw him recently, the fucking painkiller.
El champion,
the undefeated painkiller. I mean, granted, we all know that Eddie Kingston rightfully won that match, but the JAS came out to save the day because that's what heels do.
Of course.
But I gotta say, like, honestly, Steve, that was one of the matches where I really did not know who was gonna win.
Yeah.
And honestly, if Jericho won the title, I was not going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, yes, we love John Moxley to death.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and we're so happy that he's a healthy person again, who apparently does like to bleed on every single match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since he's come back, and, you know, he only wants to drink blood.
Yeah.
It's like, is it your own?
he's become a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can see, it's like, you can see John Moxley in Day Shift. No, you can't. Yeah. It's not real, but you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like, John Moxley is a vampire living amongst the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But no, in all reality, it's like, this match, I mean, we heard it from Moxley last week, right, on the Dynamite before this match, that he wants the Lionheart, that he wants the Jericho that inspired him. And we got that. We had a brutally awesome fucking match. I mean, there are moments where I thought Jericho was going to beat the shit out of Moxley and call it a day.
So many near falls. Yeah.
Like, I was ready to be like, oh, Jericho's champion again.
Yeah.
And then Moxley made Jericho tap out.
Yep.
And what a fucking insane match. And now we can see why Jericho's foot is all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Check out Jericho's Twitter and Instagram. It's a picture of his really fucking zombified foot.
Yeah. It's there. It's gross. Ugh.
Yeah. But that goes to show you someone that actually puts in the work.
Yeah, yeah. And that all goes to show you that wrestling is fake, right?
Yeah, exactly. But he's someone that puts in the work, but also when he sees a talent, he puts them over.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even matter if he's heel, you know? Like look at Garcia. He made sure that Garcia is a part of his faction.
Yep.
For how much longer, we don't know. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, well, but we can actually get into that now, because there wasn't a lot on Rampage that was like notable.
Well,
they had a couple matches that were decent.
Well. We forgot about one thing about why I had to stay off Twitter.
Oh yeah, why did you have to stay off Twitter again?
Because after the JAS and the BCC and the big brawl in the ring, all of a sudden you hear the static, and out comes CM Punk returning from his fucking foot injury.
That's right. Yeah,
I mean,
not about that.
Like, Punk came out, and Punk looked good. Like, Punk put on like a little bit of weight. Like, he looked healthier than I've seen him in a long time.
Yep.
Even since the return of Punk. Punk came out running down, clotheslining Jericho. You know, and then like after the whole brawl and shit, and like before he and Moxley had their, or no, it was after he and Moxley, like, you know, did the stare, you know, which it's like whenever wrestlers do that stare, I'm so ingrained by WWE that I'm expecting them to point up to the WrestleMania sign.
Yeah.
When it comes to a title match. But like, we all know Moxley is the interim champion, and that technically Punk is still champion.
Yeah.
Which, it's, I like that they do it that way, that it's not like relinquishing the title. It's you're the champion, you're just on pause.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I love it.
And then we'll figure out who is the actual the better of the two people.
Yeah. Instead of having just nothing happening within the title for the titles, like kind of like WWE having now with Roman Reigns having both titles for both fucking shows. Like, both shows have the title for one person, and he's never there.
Before it became the two titles with Reigns, he had the Raw title for, like, 600 days.
Yeah.
We're talking over 2 years.
Yeah.
Or just about 2 years.
He's doing nothing.
No, nothing. He's wrestled, like, a handful of matches, and he's still the champion.
Yep.
But I really thought it was great to show that Punk was healthy by him like doing like the hopping on one foot. He's hopping on the bad foot too.
Yeah, yeah. That was cool.
And I'm just like, and it's like, he's back. So the fact that Punk is back, and like I said, it looks like he's growing out the beard and the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, the way he looked, you know, when he was WWE with the Straight Edge Society, where he looked like Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was like, to me, one of Punk's best runs in that company. But Punk coming out and, you know, the whole face-to-face and hopping on one foot thing is great. I'm excited to see CM Punk is back, especially because when I go to Grand Slam in a month, I get to scream out Cult of Personality.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Which I can't wait. I can't wait to come home hoarse. But then, so that's how Dynamite closed. But then we got Rampage.
Yeah, we got Rampage, which was decent. It was okay.
It was decent.
There wasn't a lot.
Not a lot to really talk about, except for the
Danhausen losing.
Danhausen losing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the Bryan Danielson promo with Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, it was great. That was the highlight. That was the top moment of Dynamite. That I was like, okay,
yeah,
this was cool.
So with everything being said, and Garcia looking all confused on, I don't know what to do. Like the fact that Danielson said flat out, I wanted you to be in the BCC.
Yep.
Like basically saying that, like, you know, like you look up to me, but he's like, but I really look up to you.
Yeah.
And just telling, like, that was the, you know, granted there are no scripts in AEW. You make your own promo, but as much as it was like character, you could see the looks on these guys just keeping it together for the show, for the kayfabe, but also like the love that they have for each other as friends. Because, you know, yeah, it's like, oh, they can't be friends. It's like, no, this is just characters that they portray on a show.
Yeah.
Just like you would like a Law and Order or like a Arrow or a Flash. And it's like they're literally characters in a TV show.
Yeah.
These guys travel countless hours on roads together, delayed flights, all this other shit, you know, and prove that they're all real friends. Just watch any of fucking All Egos, YouTube channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
they're all homies. They're all hanging with each other.
They're all homies. Think about how many feuds in the last couple of toy hunts that Ethan Page has put out that are on TV. But meanwhile, like, these dudes are like chilling and being friends and like, oh, what did you buy today?
Yeah.
You know? So with all that being said, it's like you can see that the love and respect that Garcia and Bryan Danielson have for each other. And it's like, are we going to see a Daniel Garcia turn? Like, is he going to turn on Jericho and join the Blackpool Combat Club?
You can hope so.
And if it happens, when? Is it going to be at a pay-per-view? Is it going to be at Grand Slam?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be by All Out. We get some type of, you know,
something
fitting ending to this whole, you know, professional wrestler versus sports entertainer.
Yeah,
I want to see it. I'm excited for it.
I'm excited for it too, especially because we all know how good Garcia is. I mean,
fucking great.
The match that they had 2 weeks ago was so fucking good. And granted, I didn't get to see it until I watched clips online, thanks to, you know, COVID and me having to go outside for my food.
Yeah.
Just watch previous episodes of the show and you hear me ranting about it. But So, the fact that all that being said, these guys are great. They both are. These are also two young, really young talent that should not be in the ring today. But something in them said, no, I'm going to continue this. I mean, we all know. I mean, the story that Jericho told about Garcia and the car accident, 100% true. You guys can look it up. It's fucking, it's terrible. But then you look at, you know, we'll call him Daniel Bryan. His concussions, his neck. Like, there was a time where he had some sort of issue where, like, he ended up having to start eating red meat again because he was vegan in the beginning. And it was something where like he had to, he was like, I was like iron deficiency and like medication and pills weren't like enough.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's so many things. There are characters on a TV show, but they're real people.
Yep.
You know, they're real friends that are in this story together.
Yeah.
But they're still flesh and blood human beings like you and I, like people listening or watching. So like you have these two gentlemen that are young that are two of the best fucking wrestlers in my generation.
Absolutely.
And they were given the second chance by whatever fate or whatever you want to believe in or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like,
or just, not even just that, but just them putting in the work to actually make themselves better, to get themselves to where they are and where they should be.
I mean, they fall like other people, like the only other person I could think of that falls into this category of why do we have a top five? I have four actually.
Not yet. We could do that on another day though. We could come up with a list for next time.
Of wrestlers that should not be in the ring that got themselves back to where they are to end their career on their terms. Hint.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So yeah, let's do that. So yeah, we're gonna have you guys listen in, right? You know, obviously you already know where you can find our stuff, but we'll tell you anyway throughout the closing segment.
Yeah.
And anybody who's been watching this or go back and watch it or whatever, we're going to do something different next week. We're going to come up with a top five wrestlers. Doesn't matter what federation, what faction, what anything, what company. Come up with top five wrestlers that should not be in the ring today, but by the hard work and their drive to not let go.
Yeah.
Because they know they're not done.
Mm-hmm.
Are still in companies.
Yep.
And still active wrestlers. So.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I like this. We're only, 14 episodes into this show, and we're slowly branching out and making it not the same stale content that you guys are probably like, well, you're talking wrestling again.
Yeah, well, essentially that's what the show is.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, recap. It's all like, hey, let's do this, you know?
Yeah.
So we're going
to switch it up from time to time.
You guys are going to, I'm pretty positive you guys are going to be, you know, happy with our list.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a real good one. Yeah. I could do emergence right now, but we're already like an hour and a half in. So yeah. I'll hold on to emergence until next week. Emergence, which was the Impact pay-per-view that happened this past weekend. Another great fucking pay-per-view. I fucking loved it. So I'll be talking about that next week. Do you have anything else to add for the wrestlings for this week? Or are we good?
No, we're good. Keep watching wrestling.
Yeah. Keep fucking watching wrestling. We always say, there's a whole bunch of shows we can watch. You can watch, you can listen to over on InterestedGeeks.net. We have all the shows, whether it's this show, we have the regular show, which is the InterestedGeeks podcast. It's all over there. All the other shit's over there too. All the other links to all the cool places you can find some shit for, especially for Fight TV, where you can find a bunch of the wrestling stuff that we're talking about on here. Other than, like, you know, the WWE stuff that's on Peacock, but a lot of the other stuff is on Fight TV. Check that out. And then you can find the show on SoundCloud, on Stitcher Radio, on Google Podcasts, and on motherfucking Spotify. And you can find us on the socials, especially this show. You can find us on the Twitter at Suplex City Geeks. Just look that up. It's just one word, Suplex City Geeks. Find that there. And then you can find the main show, the whole conglomerate of shit, on the Instagram and the Twitters at InterCityGeeks. Find it all over there. Get a whole lot of content over there. Then you can find Brian. Where can we find you, sir?
You can, of course, find me on social media. Check me out, Bri2J Presents, on both Twitter and Instagram. You can check out Bri2JPresents.com. You can check out Bri2J Presents on YouTube. I have new content coming very, very, very soon. I'm likely going to record tomorrow. Yeah, so just like, share, comment, subscribe, and I'll see you then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can find me on the Instagram and the Twitter at Mr. Drackle, MisterJackal. And that about wraps it up. So thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you always and every time you listen. You guys are awesome. So we'd like to wish you the best in all your future endeavors.